Hello, good evening. It's nice to see that someone's turned up. So I'm not on my own. And I welcome you. And I naturally want to say you are beautiful. Not the person next to you. You are beautiful. The person next to you is as well. But I want to say to you, you are beautiful. And I really do believe that. I really do believe that. And I want to live it. Yes, the title of tonight is If Your Cheese is Falling Off Your Cracker. And that means if the cheese is falling off your cracker, or maybe some falling off someone else's cracker, and you don't like that to happen. Basically, what it's about is when we're end of the festival and everyone here is going home or going to a place where you can find a bed and some warmth, which is a base for you to live. And you will be facing different things than you will at Greenbelt. And I know some people are going back to broken relationships, to horrible workplaces, to dissatisfying situations. So this thing about cheese falling off your cracker is when emotions hit. And then when there is some sort of feeling of that, there's then another wave comes. And it hits us. And the idea is, of this session, is how do we deal with that? How do we deal with the emotional? And I believe the emotional is very much bound up in the spiritual. It's like a hidden impact on our soul. The emotions and the spiritual life. And I don't believe in all this Christian stuff and telling people to become Christians. I believe in wholeness because I believe God wants us to become whole. And if we only have the narrow band, which says God loves you, and if you become a Christian, everything becomes perfect. Hands up here, anybody who believes if you become a Christian, that life becomes perfect. Put your hand up. Only me. And one of my favorite authors, somebody called Scott Peck, he wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. And the first three words in the book are, life is difficult. And I think everybody in this tent would admit that. There is ups and there is downs. I've just written a new book, and the first three words in my new book, which is on sale at the bookshop, I'm not telling you. But I think it's quite significant what the first three words are. I'm not going to do a talk tonight. It will be interactive because I believe the stuff I want to introduce to you is not the sort of thing which is only verbal. In terms of communication, only 7% of communication is words. The rest is how we communicate. Our eyes are massively involved in communication and the way we move, the way we live. So that's what I believe about the Christian stuff, is that it's about living the life. It's not just hearing or talking sort of stuff. So I'm going to have it interactive. So that will mean a little bit of communication amongst you and for you to journey with me. Now, you may not want that because some people are frightened of anything to do with, they'd rather have a talk and sit in a straight line and not move and not do anything. So I would like to stretch the envelope a little bit. And hopefully when you leave tonight, there will be less chance of the cheese falling off your cracker because you're more able. You know how we can become response able? We've got more responses, so we can become more response able to do something. So that means having tools in our toolbox, so when life gets tough, we can go into our toolbox and pull out the right tool. So that is a little introduction into the workshop. And the only other thing, as an introduction, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. In case you don't know anything. I am a fragile human. I have feelings which are sensitive, and I try to develop those sensitive feelings so that I'm totally in touch. And not that I am, but I try to be totally in touch with my feelings. So I'm sensitive about my own feelings, and I believe that then will help me in my work to be sensitive to other people. I am also a vulnerable person. In my life, I've had lots of occasions when vulnerability has hit me, not by choice. But also on top of that, I've chosen to choose the way of vulnerability because I believe vulnerability is a strength, not a weakness. And I believe it is a way of living vulnerable. And I think if we share our vulnerability, that opens up, gives permission to other people for them to be vulnerable too. So then what we do, we reveal the real person who we really are to other people. So I'm vulnerable and fragile. I've done in my life all sorts of stuff. I've worked with in hostels with young people on the edge who struggle with ups and downs. It's a certain fragile time of their life. I've worked with gangs. I've worked with Hell's Angels. I've worked with young people in sort of young offenders all my life. So that's the sort of work I've done. And what I do at the moment, I go around to lots of different projects doing group work. Jesus was a group worker. And that's, I do group work where I pull people together and get them to talk and learn and develop. A caterpillar looks nothing like a butterfly, but one develops from the other. That's what I believe. That gives me hope that everyone can change. So I hope tonight, my prayer for tonight is that there will be some opportunity for you to step forward. Just take one step forward maybe in sensitivity, in awareness, in skill, whatever it might be. So that's a little bit just of an introduction. What I'd like you to do now is to get one of your fingerprints, your fingertips, and I'd like you to reach out to someone and just touch their fingertip with your fingertip. Will you do that? Right? Now, when you've done that, I'd like you to close your eyes. I'd like you to close your eyes. Keep that finger. Now, you will have feelings now inside you. Now, I don't mean my arm is aching. What I mean is the feelings going on inside. You've got several feelings going on. One of them, because it would be, oh, I hate this fella. I wish I hadn't to come here because I don't want to do things like touching people. It could be that you feel a little shivery inside and a little uneasy or a little sensitive. Now, what I'd like you to do is just think with your head space about what you feel in your gut space. What do you feel inside? I'm going to give you a little bit of silence to think how you feel. Okay. Turn to the person who you've just been touching and talk about how, describe the feelings. Don't tell me what you're thinking. Don't tell the people what you're thinking. Tell them the feelings, okay? Go, go, go. Talk, talk, talk. Okay. No, no. I don't do words. Thank you. Now that I've stopped, your feelings will have changed because I've stopped doing that. And I don't know if you can feel the difference. And the thing about communication is that we show within our whole bodies how we feel. So some people in the tent are holding hands with themselves. When they were little, they held hands with their mummy or their daddy or some guardian. As we get older, we hold hands with ourselves, or sometimes we fold our arms. And they're all signals which tell other people how they feel. So what I want to do is just get a little bit of feedback about how you felt during that little 1 minute touch of a fingertip. I'm going to ask this beautiful human, because she touched me, you see. Tell us the feeling, please.
I felt like I was starting to reach up, and then I got scared that I was going to be pressed down again.
Did you hear that? That's sensitive, isn't it? And thank you for being willing to. She felt she might be pressed down again. Isn't that fantastic? Fantastic. Who was willing to say how you felt, please? Just shove your hand up and I'll just pick a couple of people. I just want to capture the feelings, please.
I felt very comfortable doing it because it reminded me of touching my children. And I wish I had more of that now as they get older, particularly teenagers.
You say comfortable. Give me another couple of words other than comfortable, deeper than the word comfortable.
A bond of love, togetherness, an intimacy. Yeah, that's okay.
Intimacy, very, very powerful word. Wonderful. Anybody else? At the back here, at the back. I'll come to you next, I think. Please.
I felt exactly the same as what that lady says, because this lady is my friend, and I felt safe and comfortable. Yeah. So,
okay. She felt comfortable because she was touching somebody she came with. So maybe it would have been different with someone else. And this beautiful human here, feelings?
I felt like when I reached out, I thought, I don't know, sometimes when you reach out, people move away, but when I reached out, she reached towards me.
Isn't that interesting? Sometimes when you reach out to people, you feel that they may back away. In that sensitive, in that sort of thing. One person from down here, please. Yeah.
I have to say, I was quite relaxed about it. Didn't just felt sort of, oh, that's nice. But there wasn't any real sort of worry. There wasn't any particular vulnerability, you know, it's kind of, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, well, it's just sort of, you know, nothing worrying, okay. Just get on with it.
Okay, nothing worrying. What we're doing here, what I'm trying to do is what is called emotional literacy, is being able to put words into how we're feeling. And that is a massive skill. I watch Big Brother, and the reason I watch Big Brother is I have feelings in my gut about the behavior and the words and the language and the attitudes of people. But then I say to myself, well, why am I feeling that? And what is that other person feeling? So I watch it to learn about the thing, because when we see a person's behavior, that's the only thing we can see, the behavior. We can't see a person's experience. So it's so easy just to be blinded by the behavior and not see a person's experience. And intimacy is the journey. We can only understand other people when we get intimate with one another. What I'd like you to do now is reach out one finger with one hand and then another finger with the other hand, and then we'll have like a network around the tent of whole touching together. Okay. It's fantastic to see, like, the whole tent in some step towards intimacy. Okay, you can let go. So there is some step towards intimacy, and that is absolutely fantastic that we can do that. So that is like a step forward. I want to say a few words about what I'm talking about, and then what I want to do is to do, like, an exercise with everybody in the tent to take us on a little journey for the rest of the time. But the words I want to say, I talked about vulnerability. I feel vulnerable, and one of the things I feel vulnerable about is I can't spell. This year I've learned to spell the word precious, and usually every year I learn to spell one word. I think it was last year I learned restaurant, but I think I forgot how to spell it again. But I learned precious because there was a movie which moved me called Precious. Any people who've seen the movie called Precious, put your hand up. See, beautiful humans. I recommend you see Precious. It'll break your heart and you'll love it at the same time. So I feel vulnerable about that. It is very important for people to see who we really are, that we're vulnerable. If we're prepared to disclose to other people who we are, we're revealing a deeper sense of ourselves. And I believe that is the way to authentic, good, positive relationships, if we can share our vulnerability. I want you to turn to a person next to you and tell them in one, ideally a different person than you touched, tell them one thing where you feel vulnerable or weak, or a place you feel vulnerable, or with a person you feel vulnerable, or something where you feel it's a weakness or a vulnerability. Turn, please. Talk. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. It is wonderful if we can communicate to each other vulnerabilities as well as strengths. Put your hand up if you've just been communicating with someone who you came into the tent with. Someone you know. Put your hand up. Yeah. Put your hand up if you've communicated with somebody you've never met before. That's fantastic. You know, green belters do that, you know. Often you go, I go to conferences or groups and so on, and people stick so much together. It's hard for people to talk to anybody else. When our cheese is falling off our cracker, it's hard going. It's like shifting a heavy suitcase from one hand to the other as we move along. And the thing about self-disclosure is if we self-disclose, we're revealing our real self. My favorite book of all time is called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? That's the title of the book. Why am I afraid to tell you who I am? On the back cover is the full title. And it says, why am I afraid to tell you who I am? Because if I tell you who I am and you don't like who I am, that is all I have. Do you get it? It's about we show to people what we think is acceptable and we retain inside us a different person who is the real us. So often we don't reveal the vulnerable bits, we only reveal with acceptable bits. So what is happening? The person who is communicating with us is communicating to the person they see, not the person revealed, the inner person. Now, the beautiful thing about God, he loves the outside, but he also loves the inside, the real, real person. So this journey we're going on tonight, I'm going to ask you, encourage you to actually get in touch more. You've already done it by doing the stuff you've done. Getting a bit more in touch with the person who is locked in, who is maybe, the things you've said, you may never have told anybody that, ever. Put your hand up if you've just shared a vulnerability that you've never shared with another people. Put your hand up. See, that's good. That's good. And if we do that, we can get used to it so we can become more and more open and more real. So that's what I'm trying to do. I want to tell you about two young people. One of them shot somebody in the chest last year, having done many, many years in prison before that. An armed robbery, a shoot in the chest, and now another long sentence. Partly because he was found with an Uzi machine gun in the front of his BMW. A young person who I've worked with, and it's a long story to that thing. Another young person who is in prison, banged up 22 hours a day, sometimes sends me 3 letters a day. And I'm in dialogue with this young person, trying to get him to talk about his feelings. Last week I got a 10-page A4 letter from him. Absolutely wonderful. What he's doing is articulating his feelings. And I'm saying, asking him questions. Tell me this, tell me that. You know, tell me, describe things in your cell. The smells, the noises you hear. So I'm getting him to articulate, to own, to accept the situation he's in. And he tells me he has to stuff newspapers under his door at night to stop the cockroaches coming in. Living in terrible things. People screaming during the night and fighting and all sorts of, with other people who are going through excruciating times. His last letter said to me this week, what he's doing is shutting down his emotions. What he's doing is not trying to feel, to cope. Now, I can understand that. I can understand that to cope with his existence, he shuts down his feelings. But I'm trying to encourage him not to. And I want to tell you a story. Paul Vincent here, the geezer over here, the handsome guy. I'm always jealous of him because he's so handsome. We used to work together in East London. And there's a club there. And one night I went up to a fella called Kenny. And I said to him, nah, Kenny. I speak Cockney, me. Like, nah, Kenny. How are you going on, you know? Oh, yeah. I said, well, do you love your mother? I said, you love it. Cockney say mava, don't they, instead of mother. How many's a Cockney here? Anybody? Cockney, no. I said to him, do you love your mother? And he said, nah, I don't love my mother. I said, do you love your sister, Sharon? He said, nah, I don't love my mother. I don't love my sister. I said, well, who do you love, Kenny? And he said, Pippi said, I love myself, he said. I don't love anybody else other than myself. He said, if I have to worry about being in court next week, if I had to worry about my mother, if I had to worry about paying me fines by the end of the month, he said, I'd crack up. So what I do is I just sort of numb myself and I don't think about it. I don't think, I don't give, I don't. So what I did, I chatted with him for a bit and I told him, I was doing a study. This was a long time ago, 1979. I was doing a study on gangs. And I told him about emotional deprivation, where to cope under pressure, we pull the shutters down around us to numb ourselves from life. And he said, Pip, that's me. Now, as much as I believe somebody under terrible pressure pulls down the shutters, what we're doing is really shutting the light from our existence. So I'm encouraging this young fella in prison to carry on writing, to carry on being articulate, because emotional literacy, emotional intelligence, is about being able to put words to our feelings. Because unless we put words to our feelings, they stay in like a cement mixer. Feelings are like a big cement mixer, chugging around, and they're absolutely horrible. It's only when we stop and pour out the cement does it become concrete, and we can see it, we can understand it. So it's got to stop, and it's got to be shared. And what I want to do tonight is really take you through a little exercise which will not only be a talk about this, what it will be is an experience of it. Because that's what I do in my work. I go around, and I don't like the word training, because often I learn more than the people in the room, but I facilitate experiences. So out of the experience, people learn. But the first thing which I need to happen is for everybody in the space, in the tent, to get into groups of three, ideally with people who you don't know. Now, you have got the choice now. You can walk out. You can stay where you are and let people come to me. Or you can walk to the other side of the tent. But your feelings will drive your behavior. Because most people are driven, especially when it comes to young offenders and violence and aggression and all sorts of crimes or behavioral difficulties. It's the emotions which drive the behavior. But also you, what you decide to do now will be driven by your emotions. So what I'm asking you to do is be brave enough to go and say, can I join you? And then there'll be groups of three all around the tent, and then there'll be odd people left over. And they'll need to maybe walk around, and people have to put their hand up and say, oh, come and join me. So that will everybody is in threes. Will you do that? Go on, then have a go, please. Just tell each other your name, where you come from, just have a little chat. Is there anybody not in a three? There's two here. Can you move over to join people, please? You're two. There's two here. There's one there. What? Two people. There's two people over here. Two people here. Put your hand up if you've not got to three. One person at the back, two here. Okay, I don't want to spend much time on this. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Okay. Is there anyone not in a three? There's two over here. Is there anyone else who's not in a three? You're in a four. Do you want to join them two? Ah, love it. Okay. Hey, you're talking to each other. I love it. Put your hand up if you're talking to someone you've never, ever met before. Put your hand up. Love it. That's exactly it. Do you know the person's names? Have you found out the people's names? Bugger. Okay. Okay. I hate to stop you talking, but we've got to move on. Can I say it's a wonderful sign that I've got to say is please stop talking, because it's great. I love people mixing together, and you're with a beautiful human now, but you only can see the behaviour. It's only when you get intimate you can really see the full beauty of the person you're with. Do you know when a human person sees something beautiful, the eye dilates, the black center grows larger because it sees beauty. Isn't that wonderful? So when you see a person, if your eyes show that they are looking at beauty, they can tell. And when I work with a lot of people who've got all sorts of complex, massive issues, but they can tell, the streetwise, they can tell whether I mean it when I say you are beautiful. You know what I mean? There's something which is a deeper sense. So loving people, which is the first commandment, is absolutely vital. How do we do it? Only 7% of words is communication. How do we do it? And that is, I think, what we need to discover. I'd like everybody in your group, somebody to be A, somebody to be B, somebody to be C. And listen, I want to tell you what to do first. Then I want A to talk to B, and I want C to be like an observer of the communication. But I want A to talk to B about the first level of communication. Now, I hope everybody can see this. I don't think you can, but I'll twizzle it around. Here is level 5 communication. I think it's one of the best tools to understand communication. And if you get this, I think you'll be thankful to God for the rest of your life. So what I want to do is walk through the communication from 1 to 5. The first one is cliche. You know, like when we say, hi, how are you going on? I'm fine, how are you going on? I'm okay, how are you going on? Are you okay? How do you guys stay? Can I say cliche communication? Everybody does. It's like the natural first communication. But can I say yesterday I decided I wasn't going to communicate cliche. Because people kept coming up to me at Greenbelt and saying, Pip, are you having a good Greenbelt? Is it great? And I decided yesterday to say, no, I'm not having a good Greenbelt, because I want to do things. And this Greenbelt, I've been asked to do little things all over the place. Go to meetings, sort a few problems out, talk to people and that. And that doesn't satisfy me. So I've decided I'm going to be honest and say, I'm having a terrible Greenbelt. I think the festival is fantastic and I love it with all my heart. But it's not satisfying my deeper sense of myself. So I want A to talk to B, not being confessional like I've just been, but just talking cliches, like say, how are you? Are you okay? Yeah, what have you done today? And not really mean it, because that's what cliche is, you know. So just talk for 1 minute, and observers, watch what you're seeing. Watch what you're seeing. Go, 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 go. Okay, stop. Totally boring. The reason I gave you that is we often speak like this, but I've been asking you a few minutes ago to show your feelings, and then suddenly we talk about cliche, and it is totally boring. But next time someone says to you, how are you? How are you? Are you okay? Are you going to be honest? Are you going to say, I'm all right, how are you? Which is the customary sort of thing. So I wanted you to feel what it was like to be really bored. So that's the experience. And the observers, I hope that you could see. I'm going to do a few little exercises in these threes. And I want each observer to notice the communication. I want you to look at the eyes. I want you to see what the body's doing. Not just the words, but how the communication is, okay? So now I'm going to move from cliche, number one, to the next level, right? And this is an exercise at the level of facts, okay? Facts. You understand my pronunciation? Somebody translate. Facts, yeah. B, I want you to talk to C. And A, I want you to move back away, a bit away from, so you can watch the two people communicating. And B, I want you to talk and tell the C, when you came to Greenbelt, all the different towns and districts you came through on the travel, on the thing. Okay, go. Okay, stop. Stop. Totally boring. This woman is having fun. Isn't that very sad? You invented your journey. Oh, that's good, isn't it? We've got creativity in the tent. Danger! No, it's totally boring. I travel a lot on London tubes and trains and stuff like that. And you hear people on the trains talking, in fact, what they're having for dinner, what was on the television, what happened in the football, what happened in EastEnders. They're regurgitating facts. Now, you listen when you overhear people talking. A lot of people talk, in fact. And some people don't like going above that because it is giving something away. If you talk in fact, it is very safe. But for me, I have difficulty in social conversations at this lower level because I want to get right in. That's why somebody emailed me from Canada today and said, Pip, I'd love to be here at Greenbelt. She was here last year. I'd love to be at Greenbelt. I'd love to hear you asking people, when did they have their first kiss at Greenbelt? Because I love that question, and I get some wonderful stories, and sometimes very red faces as well. But do you know what I mean? If we talk in fact, it is a certain drab sort of communication. Observers, is there any observers who observed anything particularly interesting in that interaction? Anybody who observed anything? Pop your hand. I just want to come and do about three people. One thing you observed, please.
When they were reciting facts, it was never eye contact. It was always, there was this place that I went through. And
okay. See, that's good. That's the observers. Everybody's going to have a chance at observing. I want you to notice every single thing about the communication. Let's grab over here, please.
Our facts were a list of how many car crashes there were on the way, you know, and how long people got delayed at the gate.
What did you observe? Can I use you as an example? Hang on, don't talk without the mic. I'm in control. You told me what they were doing, which is a fact. I was wondering, what did you observe? You know what I mean? Please.
They were talking about all the bad things that happened on the way up.
You were telling me what they were talking about. What I want to know, I'll come back to you. Can you see the difference, folks? The Bible says we have eyes to see that don't see. So what we're doing, it's a little exercise for everybody's benefit of what did you observe. And in that little, short, boring exercise, there was hand movements, head movements, eye contact or not, as they said, and the body leans forward or backwards. There's all sorts of configurations of communication. All the rest, which isn't 7%. But you see how naturally, you don't mind me using this example, you are naturally honing in on 7% of the of communication. And I think Christians are a bit worse than anybody on this because we sit in rows in churches and listen to sermons. You know what I mean? Rather than have a dance or a interaction sort of thing. Anybody else who wants to give me an observation? A man here who is accessible. Thank you.
I noticed in the body language that my friend here was uneasy and a little embarrassed, and he kept wriggling a bit and looking away.
Now, I can see that. That was a good example. He said he was embarrassed, and I was going to ask him why, but I didn't need to, because he said he was wriggling and kept looking away. Now, that is what normal people do in communication, wriggle and look away. So one more observation, please. Lady in the blue.
The gentleman here, David, he was really wanting to get, he was really trying to sort of get some sort of depth out of it. I could see him really concentrating, willing there to be something deeper.
It's impossible with a jury like that. But you said he was willing. Why could you? I want to know why, how he was doing that.
He was leaning forward and pulling on his beard and really intently looking like, please, please, I'm really trying.
Okay. So can I say, all the ladies in the house, pull on your beard if you get frustrated. I've not examined you, so I don't know if I'm sure of that. Well, that's a good example, you see. But when I'm after an observation, is I'm after seeing what you saw, what sort of details about it. That's the sort of thing, like leaning forward. If we lean forward when we're in communication, we're going into it positively. If we're in a meeting, people lean back in the meeting. It's usually they're opting out. So it's just that often, just like a few inches back or forward, which is communication. Fantastic. Okay, swap your letters. So now C is communicated. A is listening. And the observer, I want you to sit farther away than the other person did. So farther, farther, farther away. Okay, subject. Here's the subject. Level one, if you can see over there. Level one is cliche. Level two is fact. Level three is opinion, right? So what I would like the person who is the talker to speak to the listener, ignore the observer, because the observer is doing a big job here on their own. What I want the to talk about, I want you to talk about your opinion about the fishing industry. Go. Okay. Thank you. Listen, don't get carried away with the fishing industry, please. No, I chose the fishing industry because if I'd have give you like something like your opinion about Obama or the opinion about the Conservative governments or the opinion about greenbelts, you would have been too interested. So I wanted you to work harder. Can I say opinions? Some people stay at the fact and the opinion level. Again, on the trains, when we're overhearing people, people give opinions about the referee, about EastEnders, give the opinions about the spaghetti bolognese they had the night before. But it is like low level. But often people stay at that level three, which is opinions. Now, I'm hoping after this little session that you will recognise when you are communicating and when others are communicating with you, or you can observe them, you can tell that level of opinions, right? Because when we're going to step up, it is a different level of communication, but we'll come to that. I want about three people who observed. What did you observe? Can you, three people shove their hands up and then I can come to you. Different people this time, I think. So, you know what I'm after? Observation, please.
Well, the person who was doing the talking was leaning forward and doing this. and the person who was doing the listening was actually leaning back. And looking kind of serious. He was looking very serious. eyes, well, there was a lot of thinking going on. So there was like looking away and looking down. And the person who was doing the listening was concentrating on looking at the person who's talking.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. It's interesting, the eyes, because in communication, if we use our eyes a lot, I've got a little, first time in my life, I've got a little granddaughter. And if you look on my website, pitwilson.com, you see loads of photographs of her. And she has big blue eyes. And you know what she does? She looks at me for 2 minutes without blinking and without looking away. A totally straight face. Now, babies can do that. But adults, we soon learn that we've got to look away. We've got to... And I think it's beautiful to see. I've started writing a poem about her name's Connie. We call her Connie Pops. Her eyes, because they're so electric. It's like a moment of wonder to see her eyes. Two more people who want to observe, please. Over here.
The person speaking came from Hull, which has a big problem with its fishing industry. So... very animated arm movements, quite emotional about the opinion, really getting into the thick of it. The observer was doing all the right things, concentrating, looking at the person speaking, right, engaging with the eyes, leaning forwards, but leaning back at the same time. So it was a, I know what I'm supposed to do if I'm listening, but I really don't want to know all this.
Did you get that? His observation was there was leaning forward because it was like, I'm supposed to do this, but leaning backwards sort of the other time as well. And it's interesting, the Hull, I love Hull. Got two rugby league teams, Hull has. I love them. But it's right. It's not so much a boring subject, is it, in that place? Yeah. Let's do somebody up this end, an observer. What did you see? What did you observe in any terms, please?
I noticed that when Scott was thinking up his opinions, he didn't look directly at Sarah. He was obviously looking down to assemble his thoughts. And then Sarah was looking at him wonderfully well. And then she recognized and agreed with something that he said. And then they both smiled at each other and looked each other in the eyes at that point.
Okay, good. But can you see, I'm hoping that by, I'd love to ask everybody, this level five communication, I sometimes run a whole weekend about it. So we're trying to, I'm planning to use about half an hour on this. We've got about 10 minutes to go. But you can see, if everybody spoke, everyone would add something to the, and then we all learn from everybody in the space because everybody sees different things and then we learn and then the next time we do it. So we can actually be a different person because we're observing. And I've worked a lot in YMCAs and like 150 people living in a YMCA. And like staff, sometimes the people come in from a night on the street or whatever, tasting some medication out on the streets or whatever. And the staff will say, "Hi, how are you? Are you all right?" Or, "Oh, what have you done today?" Now, those are predictable questions which don't need an answer, you know what I mean? But if the question is, "Tell me one thing you've done today or one thing you've seen today," the person has got to go inside into the soul and then answer the question. So how we ask questions is a fantastic way of communication. So that's what I've tried. If we observe people, we can see people's sad face. On the way here at a cafeteria, I said to the lady serving the coffee, "I can see you're tired. Have you had a bad day? And she just started, instead of just serving me coffee, she started to tell me about a bad day, you know. Now, I think that is fantastic, to treat people who serve us as valuable, beautiful humans. Okay, I want you to swap around with your A, B, and C, okay? Next one. Do you know? Together. Have you, okay. Observers, this time, I want you to stand up and move 10 feet away, okay? Whoever's the observer. 10 feet away. Okay. 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 Fantastic. Okay, listen up, please. Listen up. Are you listening? Are you listening? I can tell you're listening if you look at me. If you're looking at me, I can tell you're listening and that you're giving me some value. If someone is speaking and our eyes are going all over the place, we can be saying, I'm not really interested in you. I'm interested in something else. So, observers, you're doing a big job, and I'm going to come around to a lot more of you for this one. The person who is speaking, put your hand up, who is the one who's going to talk. And then put your hand down. The one who is going to listen, put your hand up. Now, listeners, I'm not expecting you to say, enter into a dialogue. The idea of active listening is that if you don't understand what the person is saying, you ask a question, and then you try to understand what they're saying better. Now, this one, we've had a lot of fun tonight. We've been laughing a lot. This one is a lot more serious because I want us to enter into real communication. So I'm going to ask you not to laugh because I want you to feel the situation, not just observe. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. The one who is doing the speaking, I want you to go into your life and I want you to think of a time when you went through tough time, pains, where you've maybe wounds are still, you've still got the wounds. And to this stranger, maybe, who you've never met before, I want you to tell them as honest as you can about this incident or happening or whatever it was. So, because the next level, level four, is feelings. And what I would want us to do is experience what communication's like for a listener, for a speaker, and for an observer. Okay, I've got to give you about 2 minutes. Go. Okay, thank you. What I'd like everybody to do is to stop talking. Can I ask everybody to stop talking and then can everybody sit down quietly, please? Can I ask you, as much as Greenbelt can possibly be, is totally quiet, because I want to capture for our learning in this process feelings. So I'm asking you to be totally quiet. I'm asking you not to laugh, not to make a noise, because I want to capture the moment. And the first thing I want you to do is the people who were listening, I'd like you to stand up, please. The people who are listening. What I'm going to do, I'm going to come around, I'm going to ask. No, I don't want you to laugh. See, I asked you to move, and already people started talking. Sometimes we talk and we laugh just because we're tense. And what I'm asking you is not to, if you can, because I want to capture feelings. Because when we laugh, it breaks the feelings, and I want to capture the feelings. What I'm going to do is come around, and we're going to ask the person who is listening, I'm going to ask you for how you are feeling now, right? How you are feeling as a listener. So I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to put the mic in front of you, say one word or just a short sentence, please.
Admiration.
Empathetic.
Sympathy.
Lonely.
Trusted.
Privileged.
Privileged.
Sorry.
Very saddened.
Sympathy again.
Shocked.
Blessed.
Empathy and sympathy.
Concerned.
Frustrated.
Moved.
Concerned.
Sad and admired.
Privileged.
Privileged.
Honored.
Saddened.
Respectful.
Saddened and bound.
Worried.
Distressed.
Touched.
Honored.
Just feel sad and empathetic.
Upset.
Sad but trusted. Weepy.
Empathy.
Empathy.
Trusted.
Powerless to help.
I thought it was wonderful. He developed from the experience, and I wanted to know the rest of the story, but you stopped me.
Insufficient empathy for a very traumatic tale.
Yeah. Now you can see, just a very brief comment. Have I missed you two out? Sorry.
Helpless. Upset, but then relieved. Okay.
Have I missed anyone else?
Sorry. Moved.
Sense of injustice.
Thank you. Sorry, I want to make sure everybody has a chance. Thank you.
Trusted.
Trusted. Someone else, was there? Can you see, in 2 minutes, there was real communication.
Enlightened.
Enlightened. And people must have shared something very important. Which, no wonder people said trusted. and privileged, because it is a privilege to listen to someone, to be in the presence of someone who takes the risks of self-disclosure. See how powerful that is, right? Very, very powerful. I feel privileged because your faces, even just the ones standing up, are showing real emotion and real... You're not... There's no pretense in 2 minutes of communication. Would you like to sit down now, please? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come around and ask the observers what they saw. I don't think because of time I can ask everybody, but I'm going to ask all the observers to stand up, and I want you to, obviously it's a different level of observing this, isn't it? Because we're observing something a lot more powerful. So I'm going to come around and do, if you don't want to, please don't, but I'm going to ask a few, maybe not everybody, only because of time, because it's 8 o'clock now, really. Because I want to capture what you saw, because the major communication was in the non-verbal. As much as the words were spilling real things, the major communication. And if we can see good communication happening, we can learn so much about how to love people, especially love people in pain.
I saw the frowns on the face when obviously the news was being communicated. Lots of hand movement, lots of togetherness, lots of empathy. Just channeling through, they were really...
Okay. If you just say one thing which you observed. Very powerful already, what has been said. So if you can just say one thing which stood out, please.
He spoke very slowly, very clearly. He was clearly thinking about what he was saying.
And can I say this is totally confidential, of course, what you have heard. And the observers didn't hear, they were too far away. It is obviously totally confidential, but that, again, is a privilege.
I found that they were very still when they were concentrating a lot on what they were saying.
Accepting, very accepting of what was being said and understanding and acknowledging that.
What did you observe?
The eyes were looking around quite a lot, not actually looking at the person who was listening in the eyes that much.
Okay. Now, as you hear these comments, you will be listening to them and wondering why that communication. And that is wonderful to be able to do that.
Huge amount of energy in the telling of the tale.
How was the energy communicated? How did you see the energy being communicated?
The only thing that didn't move was his feet.
Okay. I could see that. The energy was observed from a distance. There was energy there. Please.
You could see the trust develop as the conversation went on. So there wasn't a lot of body language, and the person speaking was quite clenched in the beginning. But then sort of you could see them release themselves as the conversation went on.
Release themselves. Isn't that fantastic? In 2 minutes, we can actually... Maybe the person who spoke maybe has not told anybody this or articulated it. Maybe in the lifetime. Putting it into words makes it more concrete and real. Very powerful.
I just seen there was a lot of empathy for the person listening, but the person who started to talk, she was quite tense at the beginning, and then she just started to relax a bit more.
Thank you very much. Please.
There was a lot of copying. John's face had been quite calm, but when he started talking, it got more animated, and then so did Simon's. Then when John started moving his arms, Simon started moving his. When John started touching his face when he was explaining, Simon did the same and brought his hands up and things like this. As if, and also Simon, the moment, not straight away, but after 5 or 10 seconds, Simon swiveled round, who was listening, to look to be orientated straight towards John, where previously he'd been at an angle.
Wonderful stuff. That is called mirroring in the profession of social psychology. If we mirror someone, they feel with us. So if someone's listening and they put their hand on the face and the listener does as well, it's like a sensitivity thing.
I kind of saw a bit of reassurance from the talker to the listener with like covering her emotion with a smile a lot of the time.
Wonderful. Smile, yeah, thanks. Listen, I'm not going to be able to get round here. So I'm going to do this beautiful human, and then I'm going to do a couple in the middle and a couple at the end. Sorry about that. Because I'm going to put you back in your threes in a minute to to talk, so everybody can talk out in your little group.
I found that the person speaking, when she was telling her story, the listener was very, very interested. But when he asked her a question, she looked away as she was looking for someone in the room that she had already said something to, and a bit of reassurance from them. That's what I found.
Okay. Can I say wonderful observations? And I would love to tap more of what was experienced, because it has been an experience. Please.
The intensity of the eye contact.
I would say body language and the power of active listening.
Okay.
So the mirroring as well.
Instead of saying, "You make me sick," the best thing is saying, "I." Start the sentence with "I." I feel very sad, rather than say, "You made me mad." People who usually say, start a sentence with "you," usually point the finger. You made me do this. Nobody makes us do things. It's our own choice, whatever. So if we speak and share feelings, it helps relationships, aggression. It helps in violent situations. It helps in damaged relationships if we share our feelings. And maybe as move as we can, especially with our most intimate people, to be as level 5 as possible in terms of sharing vulnerability. Say which words you can't spell. That sort of thing. I'm going to end now, but I want you to, in your little threes, to talk as long as you can. Because it would be good. I've not asked the person who spoke, you see, about their feelings, because I would want to have asked everybody. And the feelings are most likely very, very powerful of the person who spoke. But I'd like everybody, especially the person who was sharing, not to tell the details, but if you able to share how you feel with your little three, that would be wonderful. And then what I'm going to do is give you as long as you need on that. If you've got to go, you can just drift away as you want. After about 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, if there's anybody still here, maybe we can have a little discussion together, or people can make comments and there can be a bit of dialogue if you've got time to do that. Are you with me on that? So be as honest as possible, and as empathetic as possible, as supportive as possible, because this is a time of healing after going through a maybe a traumatic little experience. So please, carry on.